Please join me in the call to worship. Have you ever felt washed up, brittle, worn down to the bone? Have you ever felt grief lay heavy on your back? Have you ever felt like hope was out of reach? Have you ever wondered, can these bones live? If you have, then you are in the right place, for this is God's house. Hope lives here. So let us come. Let us rest our weary bones. Let us worship Holy God. I invite you now to stand as you are able to sing hymn number 263, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Nothing that we have to keep hidden from God. Not our anger, our grief, or the ways in which we have fallen short. In confession, we speak honestly and are met with grace. So let us not hold back. Let us bring our full selves to this prayer, knowing that God is already running to meet us. Let us pray. Jesus of Nazareth, we confess, we forget that you know this feeling. We forget that you too have wept. We forget that you too have lost. We forget that you too have gathered at the tomb, have grieved for a friend, have felt the sting of humanity. Forgive us for all the times we place blame on you. Forgive us for all the times we create distance, imagining that you could never feel what we feel. Forgive us for allowing the valley of dry bones to be a sea of space between us. Pour yourself into the cracks in our hearts. Bring those bones back to life. Bring us closer to you. With gratitude we pray. Amen. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. Friends, you could spend your whole life ignoring God, pushing God away, or trying to solve the world's problems all on your own. And God would still love you all the same. Even in our shortcomings, we are God's beloved. We are saved by grace through faith. We belong to God. We are not alone. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Christ be with you,
and also with you.
Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those who have gathered to worship nearby.
Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church San Leandro. I am Lou Pennebaker, Director of Christian Nurture and Education, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to worship on this beautiful sunny day. I invite you to take a minute to register your attendance with us. Find the pad that is somewhere in your pew. And if you are a regular attender, just simply note your name so we know that you are here. If you are visiting or here for the first time, we especially welcome you and ask you to provide any information that you are willing so that we might be in contact with you on that form in the pad. And as always, we invite everybody to join us for our time of coffee fellowship immediately following the worship service. If you enter through these doors to our fellowship hall, you'll find coffee, tea, juice, and often some treats, and always good fellowship. So please come and join us. Also today, not immediately following the service, but at 11 o'clock, Pastor Renee will be teaching the Years of Ripening class in Fireside Room. Is this the last week of that class?
No, they meet.
Second to last class, they will be meeting next week as well. And then at 2 p.m. this afternoon, we will be celebrating the life of Doreen Wellman. If you know her, we invite you to come back and celebrate her life with us here in the sanctuary, followed with a reception hosted by the family in Fellowship Hall. There are several things going on this week. On Tuesday, you can come read this book with Sherry Plunkett, Tuesday at 1:30 in the Fireside Room. And on Wednesday, you can join us for Casseroles and Questions. This is our Lent experience that's happening on Wednesday nights. This will be our last one. We will be going further with the questions that come from the sermon series. And we invite you to join us. We start with a lovely casserole dinner, followed by going deeper in our faith by asking questions. And then the following week, on Tuesday, March 31st, the Women's Book Club will be meeting at Kathy Pearson's house. There are signups for all those things in Fellowship Hall. We invite you to sign up and come and participate. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. We will be having a potluck brunch following our Palm Sunday worship service in our fellowship hall. There is a sign-up sheet for that. We invite you to sign up if you plan to attend, and if you will be bringing a dish, there's an opportunity to let us know what you'll be bringing. We invite you to come join us for that as we begin Holy Week next Sunday. We will also be collecting the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. If you get the envelopes, you have an envelope specific for that offering. If not, you can simply note it on your check for us as well. And on Monday, Thursday, April 2nd, we will be having a Monday, Thursday worship service here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. We invite you to join us for that. And then, of course, on Easter Sunday, we will gather at our normal worship time on April 5th, for a celebration of the resurrection. And we, of course, invite you to join us for that and to invite friends and neighbors and co-workers to come for a glorious celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. With that, I invite Kathy Pearson to come forward for our scripture reading.
Today's first scripture is Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. I'm just going to give you a little snippet of introduction before I read the scripture. Ezekiel ministered to the exiles in Babylon somewhere in the mid-500s BC. Ezekiel's ministry was to keep before the exiles the sins which had brought God's judgment on them, and to assure them of God's future blessing in keeping with his covenant. The dry bones in this passage indicate an army slain in battle, a fitting description of the then and hopeless condition of Israel. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Lord, the sovereign Lord, says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army." This is the word of the Lord. May God help us to understand it.
Oh, Our second scripture today is taken from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. It feeds, as the scripture Kathy read today, on the themes of life and death. And in this story, Jesus performs his biggest sign or miracle to date, the raising of Lazarus from death to life. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured the perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, saying, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And when he heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Mary and Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daylight will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks in the night that they stumble. They have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But then let us go to him." Then Thomas, known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go that we may die with them." And so on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here, asking for you." And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and she went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping, and he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord." Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across its entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." And then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of the Lord?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These days, death is all around us. As the U.S. began hostilities, some say a war, with Iran this month, we are constantly on alert for those who are affected by it. Soldiers on the various sides, civilians in countries as diverse as Israel, Lebanon, Iran, Oman, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, Kuwait, and Syria. There is a war between Ukraine and Russia that continues, as does the civil war in Sudan. And we have members of our own church who are anxious as family members in the military head to these areas of hostility. Closer to home, death stalks too. We've lost a number of members of the First Presbyterian community over the past couple of months, including Lavelle Woods, Doreen Wellman, Joan Flanagan, Bill Guile, and Tarilata Vias. And individually, I know there are folks in this room who have lost family members and friends recently. Faith communities all over the country are also experiencing a kind of death. The pandemic hastened the closures of many churches. And in our San Francisco Presbytery, there are congregations determining whether they will be able to continue to live or need to close. The truth is, in our Presbyterian family, our denomination, most congregations are declining in numbers, not increasing. And if patterns don't change, it's not clear how many churches will survive the next 10 years. Personal losses occur too. The recurrence of a progressive illness after a respite, the loss of well-being, or an independence that we've been used to having. The loss of an important relationship, or with a teacher or a mentor. The loss of a job we liked, or one that at least provided us with a stable income. In times like these, Ezekiel's vision of a valley of dry bones come to life seems very appropriate. The dry bones of his time were the exiled Hebrews in Babylon, who had lost their land, their vocations, and their ways of doing religion in the temple. They were a people who had lost hope that things could ever change as the years went by in their new place on the outskirts of Babylon. Children were being born, old people died, young ones grew into adulthood not knowing the land of their ancestors, and the leaders of that original generation died waiting to return home. They had waited so long that they were not at all convinced that God still cared for them, particularly because at this time Their theology was of a God who only operated in a particular geographic area. Out of the crisis of leaving their land, the Hebrews had to wait upon God, all the time wondering if God cared enough to do anything. Maybe today you feel you've moved to a new land that God doesn't recognize. Maybe you feel like you've moved from a metaphorical marketplace to a hospital, from the nursery of new life to the hospice. Will God be able to find you in this new and strange location? Our gospel story from John is the culmination, up until the resurrection, of the signs that Jesus does to signify who he is. And this one is the most dramatic, for in it, Jesus overcomes not only death, but the power of death to hold those who died in Sheol. When Jesus arrives on the scene, 4 days after Lazarus had died, the usual wailing mourners were gathered. And these were often professional mourners hired for the occasion. But it is Jesus who truly weeps tears when he learns of Lazarus' death. As the Son of God, Jesus bears with us the truly mournful times in our lives. He is the sent one who will be with us in the most tragic times, and he is the one who sits with us through suffering. In her book, She Who Is, theologian Elizabeth Johnson recounts the experience of a young mother on the ward with her very sick baby. The mother says, "On those terrible children's wards, I could neither have worshipped nor respected any God who had not himself cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because it was so, because the Creator loved his creation enough to become helpless in it and suffer in it, overwhelmed by the pain of it, I found there was still hope. This is that mysterious part of our faith, that our hope is found in compassion with the suffering. Staying in the moment with suffering is often that place where hope gets born. Author and lecturer Leo Buscaglia once talked about a contest he was asked to judge. The purpose of the contest was to find the most caring child. The winner was a 4-year-old child whose next-door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who had really recently lost his wife. And upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into the old gentleman's yard, climbed up on his lap, and just sat there. When his mother asked him what he had said to the neighbor, little boy said, "Nothing. I just helped him cry." Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. And I wonder if we experience Jesus weeping with us at the deepest places of hurt and death. I wonder what would happen if you invited Jesus to be with you in your place of tears. The time of grief has its season, and it's an important one. For without it, we cannot find the hope to move on. I once had a husband of a member who had been also on staff, and he was being challenged by this grieving process. And in his not knowing what to do, he was thinking of starting to date too soon. And he went to a therapist and he said, "You got to think of it like this. You're on a football team and you're on the injured reserve list. It's not that you're never going to play again. It's that now you need to take the time to attend to this grieving." And so Jesus, when the season is right, calls out death to new life. You know, he himself lived life to the fullest degree. He was love-filled and a fully alive person in God's image. And my Old Testament professor way back in seminary, he used to say, instead of calling it the Son of Man, which is how our English translates that phrase. He said, it's the new human being, could be another way to translate that. The one who gave out of his love is paradoxically the most well person on the planet. And so Jesus calls this the abundant life, or as the New English Bible translates it, life in all its fullness. It is life full of meaning, full of purpose, a life that empowers us to healthy, spiritually centered lifestyles, staying fully alive to ourselves and contributing to the well-being of our community, church, and society. And so we're called to new life in the proper time, in the proper season. Our story today shows that Lazarus' death doesn't end with a weeping, but the hope we have is that God does not let death have the final word. It is because Jesus calls him that Lazarus walks out of the cave. It is because Jesus calls for the bindings to be taken off that Lazarus joins the living in the resurrection life. In Ezekiel, God asked the prophet, can these bones live? And Ezekiel replies with the wisdom of one who has borne many things. Only the Lord knows for sure. And sometimes when we've had a series of tough knocks in life, we want to lock up those dead bones of our lives. We aren't open to the calling of God to new life. All we want to do is stay hidden and stay stuck. When we've gotten a great loss or disappointment, it can be such a cruel blow that all we want to do is run and hide. In her book, Amazing Grace, Kathleen Norris tells of a faculty professor who had been diagnosed with cancer, and having almost died 3 times and had extensive treatment, she found herself in remission. And while her prognosis wasn't clear, she told her department head, I never want to go back because now I know what each morning means, and I am so grateful to just be alive. And when the other woman said to her, we've been through so much together these last few years, the woman nodded and smiled, yes, yes, and hasn't it been a blessing? I want to tell you the story of a young man who went from a virtual death to a great and full life. He lived in the 5th century on the Isles of Britain. He was called Patricius. He was the grandson of a Catholic priest, a middle-class Roman kid. One day, he was captured in a raid and taken off to Ireland to become a shepherd and a slave to Cuckoo Lane in a bitterly isolated place in the hills. He wasn't well-fed or well-clothed, and in his extreme isolation, he did the only thing that he could think to do. Pray. He said, tending flocks was my daily work, and I would pray constantly during the daylight hours. The love of God and the fear of him surrounded me more and more, and faith grew and the spirit was roused, so that in one day I would say as many as 100 prayers, and after dark, nearly as many again, even while I remained in the woods or on the mountain. Then one day, after 6 years of this, a voice came to him and said, your hungers are rewarded. You are going home. And so Patricius set out on a journey of 200 miles. He caught a ship where he had some dramatic moments, not unlike those of Jonah in the Old Testament. He returned to his parents, but the easy life of a middle-class Roman Briton no longer fit the person he had become. And in a vision, he realized he was being called to return to the land of his slavery, Ireland. He headed to Gaul to train as a priest, and at length he became both a priest and a bishop, almost the first missionary in history. And along the way, he became the beloved saint of Ireland, whose day we celebrated this week, St. Patrick. This one who had spent all those years in isolation at the bottom of the world in a place as good as dead was in reality being prepared to take on one of the greatest tasks of his generation, to bring Christ to Ireland. But it wasn't just that. Within a generation, Irish slave trade came to a halt, largely because he spoke against it so strongly as a former slave himself. And Ireland created a distinctive brand of the Christian tradition, which is being revived today. There's a great prayer attributed to St. Patrick. It's called St. Patrick's Breastplate because it is thought to protect him from hostile powers, and it's ascribed to him, even though we're not really sure who wrote it. But listen to these powerful words, words that might have come from the beloved disciple Lazarus, who had his own kind of resurrection. Today, in this fateful hour, I call upon heaven with its power, and the sun with its brightness, and the snow with its whiteness, and the fire with all the strength it has, and the lightning with its rapid wrath, and the winds with their swiftness along the path, and the sea with its deepness, the rocks with their steepness, and the earth with its starkness. All these I place by God's almighty help and grace between myself and the powers of darkness. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through the confession of the oneness of the Creator of the creation. I arise today through the strength of heaven, the light of sun, radiance of moon, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of wind, depth of sea, stability of earth, firmness of rock. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through the belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Amen. So, friends, I invite you to turn to page 6 in your bulletin as we sing our next hymn.
You may be seated. Giving of tithes and offerings should be a genuine response to what we have received from God. In giving back a portion of what we have been given, we show gratitude for God's abundant love. We reflect His character to the world and invest in God's kingdom. Tithes and offerings vary in size and are given in many ways. They may be mailed, placed in the box in the narthex, electronically transferred, or given using the QR code located in the pew pocket in front of you. No matter the amount or the method of the gift, when we give, we inspire others to do the same. And as our generosity multiplies, there will be an overflow of goodness and blessing. So let us continue to give with open hearts, knowing that we are making a difference in the world that God has entrusted to us. Heavenly Father, our hearts are full of gratitude. We thank you that you are the source of all blessings. We remember your promise to open the floodgates of heaven when we honor you with our first fruits. May these gifts extend the work of your kingdom in your church, our community, and throughout the world which you have lovingly created. Help us to give with joy, rooted in the unwavering faithfulness of your promise. Amen.
God has indeed called us from death into new life. Let us pray to God, knowing that God hears us. I invite you, as I say, Lord, in your mercy, to respond by saying, hear our prayer. Dear Heavenly Parent, thank you for the gift of new life you have given us through the waters of our baptism. Help us, as your baptized people, to daily die to sin and rise to new life with Christ in the power of the Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all of those who are mourning the death of a loved one. Comfort them in the knowledge that Jesus has won a victory over death, so that everyone who dies in Christ may have eternal life. Keep us from fearing death, and help us put our faith in Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for hospices and for people who work with the dying. Keep them strong and give them peace to do their difficult work with dignity and sensitivity. We pray for all those people who work with those addicted to substances. Use them to make a difference to people's lives and to help them start their life anew. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the peacemakers in our world who seek to end hostilities and wars. Keep them centered and committed to this challenging work to resolve disputes without death and violence. Use them to help the countries of the world create abundant life for their peoples. Lord, in your mercy. As we move close to Easter, help us to live as Easter people who face death in the certain hope of resurrection. Remind us and comfort us every day with your promise that we will be raised up together with all who have died in the faith of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. God of all consolation and compassion, your Son comforted the grieving sisters, Mary and Martha. Your breath alone brings life to dry bones and weary souls. Pour out your Spirit upon us that we may face despair and death with the hope of resurrection and faith in the one who called Lazarus forth from the grave. Amen. And let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And so, friends, I invite you to stand as you are able for our closing hymn, How Great Thou Art, number 467.
Thank you.
with the deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen. Go in peace.